Welcome to the Daily Actor Podcast. I'm Lance Carter, and in this episode, I'm talking with Jackie Earle Haley. You know, I gotta tell you, I love Jackie Earle Haley. I must have seen Bad News Bears like a million times, and Breaking Away is one of my all-time favorite movies. If you haven't seen it, Netflix it, yo! When Jackie got a bit older, it got harder and harder for him to transition from child star to adult actor, so he eventually moved to Texas, where he started a successful production company. He directed a ton of commercials, and as he told me, he just thought that that part of his life was over, his acting life. But Sean Penn, who he had worked with on Broadway, and writer-director Steve Zaillian, who were making All the King's Men, thought of him for one of the major roles. That brought him back into the business, and he's been working nonstop ever since. He got an Academy Award nomination for Little Children, he played Rorschach in Watchmen, he worked with Martin Scorsese and Leonardo DiCaprio in Shutter Island, he played Freddy Krueger in the new Nightmare on Elm Street reboot, he worked with Steven Spielberg on Lincoln, tons more. I mean, the guy's just been busy, 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 and with each role, it's just completely unique and different. The guy is just wonderful. Now he's starring in the new RoboCop. I really like the film, and Jackie is obviously terrific. He plays Maddox, and he's the military tech who eventually trains RoboCop. It's a lot of fun, and I think you're going to like it. In the interview, we talk about the movie, some of his past roles, auditioning, his time on Broadway, and his advice to actors. The interview's really, really good, and I just totally love talking to him. And now, it's plug time. Yes, plug time. If you guys need a website, casting director, mailing labels, career coaching, list of headshot photographers in your area, we've got all of that and more. Check out dailyactor.com. And now, here's Jackie.
You know, I gotta say, I interview a lot of people, and I never really get super excited, and when I got the chance to talk to you, man, I'm just completely happy and super excited to talk to you.
Well, awesome, man. Thanks. I appreciate it.
I want to talk to you about RoboCop first. Have you seen it yet?
No, I haven't seen it, but I'm super excited. I hear it's pretty awesome, and I really, I'm looking forward to seeing it.
Your character, he's the inventor?
He is a robot handler. See, Omnicorp is basically policing the world with hundreds and thousands of 208s and 209s. They go through, they have missions where they go through cities, they scan buildings and people, and eliminate threats. And when Maddox oversees those missions, and here in the States, Congress has made it to where, you know, Omnicorp can't police any cities within the United States. And so Congress is trying to get around that. I mean, Omnicorp is trying to get around that by putting a man into the machine. And at that point, Maddox is tasked with preparing and training RoboCop for the streets of Detroit.
I can't wait for this, but it's got a freaking fantastic cast, too.
Yeah, and some really good guys. Yeah. I love the fact that they picked Joel. I was a big fan of The Killing. And he was like my favorite character. So when I heard he was RoboCop, I thought, wow, perfect. And then, of course, getting to work with, you know, Gary Oldman and Michael Keaton, and, you know, it's just everybody. It was a really cool experience.
You must have had a blast on set.
Yeah, it was pretty cool.
Have you heard about this, I don't know, all these other fanboys, like, saying how it's sort of blasphemy that this new one is PG-13?
You know, I think every time you do any sort of remake like this, you just always have that kind of contingent. You have a subset of voices out there that just don't like the idea. You know, I think, you know, I'm of the camp that it's like, you know, RoboCop in 1987 was an awesome movie. Paul Verhoeven did a great job. My buddy Miguel Ferrer was in it. He was wonderful. You know, Peter Weller. But, you know, the film is dated now. I still think it's cool to go back and look at. But, you know, in 2014, this is, you know, the production capabilities, the equipment, the crews have evolved. CGI has completely, evolved. And, you know, you can just do so much more now that you couldn't do then. So I think it's going to be pretty cool. And I really dug the script.
You know, the parts you play, you almost, like disappear into the roles. Like I was thinking this morning, I didn't, before I just talked to you, I didn't really know what your real voice sounds like.
Well, you know, a lot of times I just use my normal voice.
Like when you get a part, like even a part like this, like what is your process to figure out the character? Do you like create a backstory? Like what do you do?
Well, you know, they're all kind of a little bit different. This part was pretty much straightforward. And, you know, in terms of preparing for it, you know, I think the best process was the rehearsal process with Jose. He had this great process where it wasn't about sitting there and acting the scenes out over and over, rehearsal that way. What it was is it was he would take each character and go through their progression and talk about the scenes, you know, kind of and find what's working and what's not. And that was informative on, like, revisions that he would make. You know, we'd help kind of pull out some logical problems here and there. And so it was just really kind of cool process for finding the character, you know, together with Jose. But like I said, Maddox is, you know, he's pretty straightforward.
Like, when you're doing, like, these really intense characters, like, you know, Freddy Krueger or Rorschach, and you're kind of in this, in all the makeup, do you enjoy that more, kind of creating a character like that?
I do. You know what I enjoy is the diversity of it all.
Oh, totally, yeah.
You know, I can tell you what I don't enjoy, and that's, and that's like, you know, 3.5 hours of makeup.
Ugh.
And then another hour to get out of it, and, you know, I'm talking about Freddy.
What do you, what do you do during that time? Are you just, like, conversing or, like, on your iPad? Or, I mean...
Yeah, I'm just kind of sitting there talking to the two makeup guys that are applying it. Because you can't really, like, read, you know?
Yeah, yeah.
And they're all, you know, I mean, I guess some people probably do. I just didn't.
It seems
like... But, yeah, that was pretty intense, you know? And in this movie, you know, I wear this exoskeleton suit. And I got to tell you, man, this thing was pretty painful at times. It just, you know, it shouldn't have been, but it's kind of like, there was just tensions in the wrong place, or sometimes it was just, like, digging into my back.
Are you able to, do you have to stand the whole day, or are you able to, like, sit down, or?
Yeah, no, that one was, I'd be stuck in it for a good amount of time, and I, you know, there was a special chair that I would sit in to, you know, kind of half worked where I could kind of get the pressure points to off or to move a little bit so I could get some relief out of it. But
you don't seem like a big complainer to me. So are you just kind of like sucking it up while you're on set?
Yeah, pretty much. Just sitting there waiting. You know. I think the guys that were handling the exosuit were fully aware of it. So maybe I did complain a little bit.
What do you do when you have to go to the bathroom? Is it like a pain in the ass to get out of it?
Well, the exosuit doesn't really cover the whole body. It's kind of an outside spot. It just straps onto to your legs and, you know, over your shoulders and stuff.
So you're good to go, technically.
Yeah,
yeah.
Good to go.
Yeah. How do you go about choosing what roles you do or you're going to do?
Well, you know, it's kind of... you know, I got my team, my agent, and my manager that, you know, kind of seek things out, and I read things, you know, sometimes I pass on things, sometimes I'm offered a part and take it, or sometimes I audition for stuff, and sometimes I get that job. Yeah, every now and then, sure.
Have you been offered, like, just the worst piece of crap, like, roles, and you're like, what the hell, why are you offering me this?
Sure.
You don't have to tell me what it is.
This has happened.
Then do you eventually, like, seek those movies out just to see what, like, the debacle it's become?
No.
You moved down to Texas, and you started this, like, really successful company, and you were directing a lot. But did you still have your eye, like, on acting and sort of, like, did you always think you'd come back to it? Or did you think, oh, that part of my life is done?
You know, it was a long process, but that part of my life was definitely done. And I was out here in Texas, you know, working with my production company. And I do recall having a conversation with a friend of mine as we were kind of sitting out in the back in the evening, just hanging out. And, you know, we were kind of thinking, you know, he was kind of saying, man, you know, you should try to get back into the acting thing. And I was kind of contemplating it, and I really saw this huge uphill battle with also being just busy with my production company. But it's like, you know, trying to go to L.A. to get an agent to start that process, or maybe go and see if I could get some stuff going on in Austin. And, you know, I just never did it because I was busy doing, you know, directing commercials and running that company. So it was really just an incredible bit of fortune when Steve Zalian thought of me for All the King's Men, and brought me back into the business. And then that led, like, immediately within 4 months after that, I was working with Todd Field on Little Children. So, I mean, it's just, I mean, what, you know, to me it still feels kind of unreal, you know, and I look back and think about it, but it's just, what great luck.
Are you having a blast right now?
Yeah, pretty much. It's, you know, it's been a while now, and I've done a bunch of stuff, so, it's, you know, sometimes it's really fun, sometimes it's work, you know, so it's a little bit of everything, but what a great, you know, I certainly can't complain. It's all I can do is say how, you know, lucky I am and how fortunate it is to get to do this again.
Are you still living in Austin full time still?
San Antonio. Okay. Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's what, and I love it too, because then when I do need to audition for something, you know, I don't have to go into some office somewhere and with my shaky hands, you know, in front of producers, director. You know, I can just, you know, make my own tape here. And geez, nowadays you don't even have to mail them; you just upload them. So it's a great process.
I hate auditioning. I'm an actor too, and I just get so freaking nervous. It's a pain in the ass.
It really is. It's like, I got to tell you, I mean, it's to this day, when I have to go in and actually audition in front of somebody, it's horrific for some reason, you know. And it's interesting. It's not like that on the set, you know. You know, you got the part. You know, my process, I do find myself, you know, a little nervous on that first take, on that first day, and I'm perfectly okay with that. It's like, give me a couple takes, and then I'll settle in for the rest of the movie, you know? That's kind of how it works for me, but the audition thing is you never really get to take three or four, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
So all they see is, like, the nervous one, so that's kind of okay, but...
I think auditioning is, like, a totally different skill, though.
I agree, but I think the only reason why it is that way, because I think we kind of psych ourselves out for it. Like, if we didn't make it a different process, you know,
yeah,
and just went in there and sunk in, then it probably wouldn't have to be a different process, if that makes sense.
Yeah, yeah, totally. I'm so much better when I'm driving home in the car.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
In the actual room, you know.
Dude, that's the same for, you know, even if you're shooting all day.
Oh, yeah.
You know, then you're driving, oh, I should have done that. Oh, I didn't think of this. Then you're lying in bed going, oh, gosh. You know, you have like 10 ideas, but you have the scenes already in the can.
Do you ever watch your films and your stuff that you do and think, oh, crap, I could have done that so much better?
No, not really.
Yeah. Do you tend to watch your stuff?
Yes, definitely.
Oh, wow. Okay. Yeah.
I like to see how the whole thing turns out. And, you know, I think the way I really only judge myself after stuff is like, you know, or when something's done, or when I'm looking at the monitor, seeing a take back. The only thing I really do is I'm not looking at it for what else I could do. I'm literally looking at it just to see if my bullshit meter goes off. So if I'm watching a movie that's done and the bullshit meter goes off, that's a bummer because the movie's done.
Yeah, yeah.
But if I'm watching a take and the bullshit meter goes off, that's great because then I just do another take and, uh-huh, and take off, you know, just stop doing what it was I was doing that is making me think it's not real, you know?
What's the worst audition you've done? Or you've had?
The worst audition?
Yeah.
I can't recall.
Have you ever thought about doing like a Broadway play?
You know, I did one a long time ago called Slab Boys. I think it was, I want to say like 1982 or 3 or something like that. And it was with Sean Penn, Val Kilmer, and Kevin Bacon.
Oh, wow.
And that was a really cool experience, but that was a scary experience for me. You know, I'm much more used to, you know, film acting than stage acting.
Yeah, you want to try it again?
You know, maybe... That to me seems like a lot of work.
Yeah, for you know the money, too, it's, yeah.
Yeah, that's, yeah. You know, so it's, I don't know, maybe one day. I'm not real interested right now. I am kind of getting ready to direct a movie.
Oh, nice.
But that's all I can really say about it at this point, because I'm not ready to talk about it. But yeah. that is something I'm working on.
Nice, yeah, that was another one of my questions. That's awesome to hear.
Yeah, it's a really cool script, and I'll tell you more about it when it's time.
Yeah, perfect. And then just my final question, because I know you probably are tons busy, but what's your advice to actors?
In what way?
You know, just someone who's been, me, for example, someone who's been tooling around, you know, had, you know, been done some movies and TV shows and blah, 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 but just hasn't, you know, I guess.
Pushed it through?
Yeah, exactly.
Well, you know, it's all really contingent on the level of passion. You know, if you're a real passionate actor, and that means that this is just something that you want so bad that you just gotta keep at it. There just has to be perseverance. You know, do what you need to survive, and in all the other waking moments, do what you can to move forward and keep trying to do work until it leads to something that's somehow busts out. I mean, it's like it's really a Rubik's Cube, and I don't know. I mean, this stuff started with me when I was, you know, 6 or 5. So, you know, it's a tough thing.
Thanks, Jackie, and thank you guys for listening. Keep coming back to Daily Actor for more great interviews, news from film, TV, and theater, and so much more. Follow me on Twitter @DailyActor and like our Facebook page, facebook.com/DailyActor. Thanks for supporting the advertisers. I'm Lance, and I'll talk to you soon.